Yeah, Q-tips that I saved last time.
It's with humorous. It'll be quite funny if you want.
What? Waiting for one moment to check to get. This isn't supposed to look like. I'll sort that.
Nice.
Okay, microphone's on. Can I just sit here actually?
Yeah.
So we can get you on camera. Is that comfortable?
Yeah.
Okay. It's actually the scalp is meant to go behind your head.
See, I never get this, so what's the point of me? If this is
strap, I don't know.
If this strap is supposed to go behind, I'm obviously doing this wrong. I'm obviously failing this, like, a set, whatever, calling center.
You have this going behind your ears.
Like
yeah,
this.
That's not right.
Yeah, you know what this just has to do now.
And you put the microphone in front of your chin, actually. Yeah. Good. Okay. Excellent.
Yes, so,
and I am recording one of these.
So, it's probably not much to talk about at the moment in terms of, like, talking about each other's stuff, I mean, beyond what we've been talking about yesterday.
Yeah,
so what I've been thinking is maybe if we try to really make sense together of the XML format to be sure that we can all produce the data that we are producing in a way, or at least, I mean, I guess my data I'll probably load in a really different way anyway because it's a matrix, but all the stuff that goes as annotation that we have it in the right format, maybe if we just sort of pool what we know about the XML format and try to make sense of it. I don't at all know how to go about this. What I did just now is I downloaded I downloaded some files, some XML files,
right.
And I was thinking if we maybe just should go through some of them and like try to see if we understand the general structure and put together what we think about the structure, what we think the things mean, and then talk about how the annotation for information density and stuff should maybe be structured in a similar way.
Yeah.
Or, but I don't really have an idea like what otherwise what we would do today in this meeting. I mean.
Yeah, you haven't got that much to talk about.
Just maybe talk about how you would give me your data.
Yeah.
What's that for?
That's the interface between having the topic segments and
mm-hmm.
calculating the information importance supports.
Mm-hmm.
So I would need separate files for each segment or just three cut delimiters in between.
Yeah, well, that's the way it works. It's called columnar
link.
Okay,
yeah, and
then
I can make files of that.
Yeah, you have to do that. Yeah.
Right.
And you're saying you need a label for each segment. I mean, you don't need one.
Mm-hmm.
I could give you an ID, but it would be quite difficult to actually give a topic
here.
Title.
I just need a title for the file. It doesn't matter what it is.
Oh, yeah, that's not fine.
Yeah, so does anyone have a good idea where to start? Like, which. So what is it we're talking about getting in at the moment? We're basically just, because the two of you will merge data together, right? In some way, like in the end it will result in one annotation. So the only thing they're trying to tie in is just an additional annotation which is similar to the annotation about what would it be most similar to? Simply to the segmentation information.
Yes,
or
yeah, I mean they're all very, very similar, all those XML files. I had a look at the, for example, Alice.
Sure. Oh.
Mm.
See, that's what I was thinking. not sure what software I have at the moment. Hello? Hello? Does anyone know any good standard software to display XML? I'm not sure.
Mozilla?
Yeah, but I'm afraid that only Firefox, and Firefox doesn't have a nice XML viewer anymore. Just Emacs then.
So what we have then when we are mixing our values together is it a value for each expression for each sentence or something?
Yeah, I think that would be, I mean, for me it's quite difficult to say on, what scope one annotation would have. I think it would be certainly more than one word, and I think would work best with utterances or segments.
Yeah, I would just end up with values for each word, so I wouldn't have any boundaries or segments at all. I just would have the words, and then how long each expression would be, I don't know.
But going from a word business, wouldn't it be easy to then go back and calculate for each utterance?
Yeah, but what is an utterance?
To each turn,
I
so
think
if you.
just the segments as they are segmented and
Yeah.
put them in the.
So what we could fit in into the XML files would be a value for each utterance, or would you?
I think so.
Okay.
And probably still need your values for all the words, perhaps for maybe keywords that are displayed when you click on
So then we would have to fit in more than just one word value.
Yeah, but that's another representation then, I think, for the audience menu.
Does
But
anyone
should, yeah.
know in which file the actual what's it called, the splitting into the utterances?
I am not certain. Is it
Probably is
dialogue
the
up? Dialogue up.
No, it's not dialogue. It's for example, there's BDB001C.6.
What does it end with? Does it end with sex? Does that look like it?
I can't see anything with it, but yeah, that's
I think that's it, yeah. You have all got an ID for each utterance.
That's actually just something K, right? How much time is spent? That better to see, I guess, yeah, why do you like better to see?
Yeah, it's better.
Let's just
Fine.
see if I can. So
Okay, so here is for each
this
segment, that's really all segments. I mean, it can be words or topics or anything, I think, in these. That's why it's, for example, a time provenance dialog act or time provenance segment or time provenance.
and it's got a different file for each user.
But what is this? I mean, this doesn't contain any content, like any text.
No,
No,
it just
but
points
it,
to the words.
Oh, wait, somebody explain this slowly to me. So.
yeah, some of them point to the words, others point to the dialog acts.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the global thing that ties together
So what do all these
all
things
of
in this
these.
file have in common? What are they?
Yeah, they have the night ID, the time.
No, but like, so they are segments in what sense? Well, what's the definition
I
of a
suppose
segment
they're
then?
utterances, but also includes things
The segment
like
is what is displayed in one line,
okay.
in a
And And that's usually dialogue. What's the difference between pronouns, dialogue, accent, between segment?
Yeah, it looks, the segment thing looks in the, into the words, XMFL, and the effect. I think it's
a dialogue
cuts act, different.
Are dialogue acts annotations of dialogue acts, or is that just another representation of text?
No, they're annotation of dialogue acts, and one segment can have one of those word strings that are presented in one line can have several dialogue acts annotated on it. That's why.
Just you can move these files somewhere. So the stuff that's called segment here, do we know which file this is pulling from? From, yes, it's from words XML, is that what it's saying here?
Yes.
Let me see if I have the words XML file. So let's, for example, look at.
No. So we need a value label for each of those segments that are not dialect. All those that point to the
action yet. Let me just try to get them all to difference. I'm trying to arrange them so that we have one above the other so to make some sense of that. So now here we had.
But I think the segments which are not exactly what we are looking at, because that's just one time on the others together. And the information, or I mean, we're going to create a file that looks more like the words file, I think.
Well, I'm just trying to understand what the segments file is about. Like it's referencing here, it's referencing to a certain position in the words file.
Yeah, I think so.
So it's that non-vocal sound one here. That's the mic noise, okay. But does it always just, oh no, it's referencing to several word sounds. So this would be basically be a sequence, right?
Yes.
So that's from W52. Are they not ordered?
Yeah.
From W52 down to W, what are we talking about? Yeah. So.
To discourse marker, this F marker, 0.5.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is somebody saying it doesn't. Do we have any confirmation? Do we actually see from this file who's doing it, just of interest?
This is on SpeakerD. You're in the SpeakerD.
Sorry, in SpeakerD is fine. So this is where the time stops, and then it only starts at a later time. Sorry, you don't see when I'm pointing at the screen, just realized. So then it starts here, this time again, SpeakerD, because in between there's somebody else.
Yes,
okay.
You can see whether there's somebody else or not. You can see that in the value point. First it's W.554 and then it's 76, so there are this number of utterances of other speakers in between.
Okay, so then the file with annotations for information density, what would that be like? Would that be like the segments file giving a start word and an end word, or would that, how would that be to best tie in the system?
Yeah, I think we would also need two of those. I think we would have to have the same structure, one that points to it, where we tie together all our information. So we would perhaps have to
something
make
like
one.
Something like this, or like where you give sort of a reference to a beginning and an end position.
Yes, and then another one that would perhaps give the actual probability value.
Well, that would be in the same file, wouldn't it?
Couldn't
we have a like.
From the same file?
I guess we could introduce a different.
But if you have several layers, then
file because I don't want the same file.
Well, for now, if you just do something which for every segment in here attaches, actually, can we not tie it to the segments file? Would that not be the way how they would want it to do us? If we, in the end, we want to attach to each of those segments one number for now. And those segments have, do they have an ID? Yeah, I guess they do. So this is the ID of a specific segment,
yeah,
right?
And segment point one.
Yeah, so wouldn't it, I mean, the problem is they really haven't looked at the exact, you know, workings of the engine yet, but you'd think that the easiest way, the way that how it's intended to be, would be just, if we have here a link to the segment, or like an ID for that segment, then we just create another file which links to the segment and then has an additional value which is the number.
So you mean an attribute?
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I thought you were talking about having two files. I was thinking, I think I understood wrong. I thought you were wanting to have two different XML files, one the reference and one just the number. And I was thinking that's probably what you meant, just having, like for each sort of our segments, having just the ID, which is referencing to these segments here, and another attribute, which is the value.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole information we would then store in this, that I don't have access to because I didn't download, like just this one meta information file where it describes the structure of all the files and describes which attributes they bring in. So we would add that to that file, saying that's what we bring in information density, and then we would create a file of that type, which we probably couldn't call it segment. I'm not sure, we probably might have to have a different word for it. I'm not sure if it, there's any trouble with it repeating.
Wouldn't it be easiest to just incorporate a new attribute in this file?
In the existing segments
yeah,
file?
Yeah, I know that's probably not very nice, but would be quite easy.
Yeah, I can actually, if you make a copy of it.
But I mean, that's not all the information that is in the corpus in the segments file. I think that is just the things that are loaded every time. But we have lazy loading, so it can load more than that. Perhaps we could just try to to make our file one of those lazy loading. But I mean, I have no real idea how that works.
What do you say about the? Doesn't the lazy loading apply to everything? I mean, that it sort of dynamically
yeah,
loads.
Yes, but it has a basic thing that it loads, I think. So, for example, every time it loads the segment things, it can't not display loads, I think.
I think it loads the whole of the segments file every time.
I think so. That's how I understood it.
The segment at the moment is split up.
Because otherwise, in the other things, there's no information about what the participant names and so on. So, in the segments file, it's really the very basic that have to be displayed for any thing.
But they display the segments in, or the utterances in their user interface as well, where the words are. So they have their utterances displayed in their interface. So that they access probably this file and then they display the words, so they shouldn't really be able to do that.
No, but I think it's too early to really like discuss that in detail because we don't at all understand at the moment how the internal data structure, like how the loading works. So maybe if you go ahead, do you think it would be possible for you to do something like segments, or maybe just a copy of segments, which has an attribute for each segment, which just like with a value, with a density value?
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be difficult to create a file of that shape. I mean, that would be enough.
Would it be easier though, because all your methods are sort of not working with their whole time frame structure there, so would it be easy for you to tie the things together, like if you're doing it on the word basis with those words, that in the end you then tie it back in into the right segment here? I mean, probably have to do
that. Yeah, I don't know how about your words, but for my segment with the F0 measurements and all those waves I get from there, I always store the big starting end time of everything I calculated there, so I would just
Keeping
have
it
to
time based at
put
the
it
moment.
on. Yes.
So this isn't directly having time references, but you can get the it is actually
yeah,
here. Okay. So if you slice it up by time, you'd probably be able to just like attach like just some attribute of info val just to each of those segments.
But actually my segments are not always the same as their segments, because their segments are parcels sometimes.
Mm-hmm. That just means this one's blank.
Yes, but yeah, I mean one segment of theirs is sometimes two segments of mine, that's just
okay.
What I meant.
Okay. I don't understand enough about the data structure. It really would be a lot easier would I really understand how they are handling the data internally. Then, then I could say, oh, it's easy to just tie it in if you just have a timestamp which is referenced by words and stuff. But at the moment. So you're doing a word by word base.
Yeah, the problem is probably that I extract all the words and then I don't use an ID or something for it, so it would be difficult to write it back to the right position.
But every word, does the word picking, like, does it always have the same information value in your thing, or does it depend on its position?
It depends on the position.
Yeah. It depends on the position. And you're doing this via some software that's like external software, so you can't.
Yeah, I could use another a different approach.
So what if you get the results from that software and you go back over it then with that file, sort of you write an algorithm which then goes back because they're in the right order still and stuff, right? So that shouldn't be a problem. But this is by speaker here, which makes it slightly more difficult. The problem is that actually Knight XML probably provides a lot of the tools that
you
need to do that.
I made a file that contains just the start times. It could contain end times and words for all speakers of all meetings. I mean, that's just the same
in the temporal
thing as I gave to you, but displaying also start and end times of every word. So you could perhaps use it to match with your additional information you need.
You didn't use an XML password.
No.
Would you think it would make sense to just take files by speaker? It doesn't matter what input I give to Rainbow. So I just could use the files as they are.
But would the information that's the algorithm still make any sense if you split them up? Because I mean, I thought the whole thing is that you look at the frequency of a word in that specific, how often a word occurs in a certain topic versus how often it occurs over the whole corpus, and that from that it calculates.
No, I think it's not this the whole corpus. It's you have certain categories, and you measure which words. Have the highest information for one category, so it's the categories across each other.
But would you then not get the typical words for every speaker? If you
probably,
yeah. But I mean, it can't be that difficult if you already have you have in the right order all the words with a score to them. You have a file which has each word and the timestamp.
Yeah.
So those two tied together have each word and its time and its pro and its value.
Yeah.
What
the problem is, I don't know exactly. I think the information gain in Rainbow is ordered by the value of the information gain. I'm not sure if I can get the right order and the values. That's the problem.
So there are moments.
That if the order stays the same, it's no problem at all to just write it back again. But if it's ordered by information gain, I don't know where the words come from, because it has a back of words representation.
But it feels to me that rainbow was made for something quite different.
Yes, it is. It was made for text classification.
So a lot of people don't want information again.
I'm actually sure that rainbow is doing a measure, like is returning a measure of what we are trying to measure, because it seems to me that it sounds like something quite different in
yeah, what it actually does is that you put in some documents,
mm-hmm.
and you have several documents per category, and you have several categories,
mm-hmm.
and then it measures which words are typical for a certain category.
Yeah.
And if you get a new document, it will compare which words are in that new document.
Yeah.
And if there are a lot of words that are typical for one category, it will assign it to that category. And if it's typical for another one, it will assign it to that one.
But where do you have the original category information from?
Yeah, it's because you have different files. If this is your directory,
yeah.
you have a directory 1, 2, and 3,
yeah.
and this represents the category. Everything that's in there is in category 1.
So where do you have them from at the moment, the splitter?
Yeah, just split
topic.
So it's public information.
In the topics, in the human topic. So you've split it up by topic at the moment?
No, I've just split them up somehow by there are several documents for each meeting,
yeah.
and I just put one in each category, so it's not very sensible at the moment because I'm waiting for the topics and so on.
Okay. I was just thinking that doesn't make sense at all, but yeah, if that's just while you're waiting, okay. Have you ever like looked into different words of categories? I was just thinking, the entropy calculation. It's such a box down that simple calculation that you could probably write the
yeah.
script in no time
yeah,
at all.
Yeah, maybe it's better if I write it myself, because otherwise it's too easy to just split things up into bins. It wouldn't be any work at all in terms of programming or something.
Yeah, but also just like I think that probably the entropy value at the moment for a word is closer to what we're at the moment looking for. I can sit together with you for 20 minutes and just show you the entropy code that I wrote for my other project, and
okay.
it's probably, and we should work together because it's, we use the same matrix as I'm using in my latent semantic analysis you'd use to calculate entropy scores. And then we have a score which would be the same for the word in each position. So in that sense, it's doing something a bit
mm-hmm.
different. And like, basically the score that I'm talking about is a conditional entropy score, which just checks how much information the fact that there's one word tells you about what would be the next word.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a relatively good measure of whether that's a very specific word, in which case they're usually words which tell you quite a lot, or a very general word, which usually doesn't tell you quite a lot.
How do they calculate that actually?
It's basically the standard entropy formula.
Okay.
So how sure or unsure you are about what's falling out of what you context?
Yes. And I think the official description of what it tells you is how much that like the fact that a given word occurs tells you about what the next word is going to be.
Yeah.
Which doesn't sound too exciting, but it just works out in the way that words which are promiscuous and which occur with everything all over the place have very low scores in that. And also usually end up being the words which are least like expressive and contain less information.
Well, like function words and stuff.
Yeah, function words are just very general nouns. For example, the word computer in that context. You could imagine it to like be in all the contexts.
But do we have enough data for that it gives us sensible things? Because I mean the words we're really looking for appear not too often, and if they appear 5 times in the meeting and they have each time different,
Yeah, so we wouldn't do it by word, we would. Sorry, okay, I was getting that actually, sorry. I was getting that wrong, I was getting it from what I did in my project. Now in this case, we would do it by per meet words per meeting. So
yeah, but that's almost I think similar to what I'm doing, because words that are in every class that are not very informative, but words that are only in one class are very informative for that class.
Yes, it's probably doing quite the same thing again, but I'm just saying like with that thing you would easily have an algorithm which at the moment provides you for each word with a score which you can use. I was describing the wrong thing. In this case, we wouldn't be doing how much it tells you about another word. In this case, we would be doing, given that you know a word, how good is it at predicting from which kind of specific topic that was.
Yeah, okay.
So that would, yeah, in
yeah,
a sense, it's the same
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that would give the same value for one word every time, I mean, for a specific
yeah.
word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For
because
specific.
Then it would be quite easy to.
Reintegrated
the
yes.
specific
yeah.
word
per
the same word. The word yesterday would have the same score all over the place.
All over the place, and in my case, it would have. I think it would have different values for each category, but in that category, it would have the same value at each place.
Okay, but then I could also be possible to reintegrate it.
But your category thing depends on that we not just have topic segments, but also that these topic segments we have them in categories. Wouldn't you need several documents for each category? Several segments for each category?
That would be best, but I would have to look at that.
Will it work without that at all?
At least it works if there are several categories with each.
So in our case, basically every topic would be its own category. And the question is,
yeah,
does the algorithm still make any sense? I don't understand the algorithm enough for that. But what I'm really like, because the entropy calculation is so simple, maybe we should look into making that score just as a preliminary score that we have. Like it gives you, like, I've looked at the result, it gives you basically something in the end which rating it tells you just whether a word is a very specific word or a very general word.
Yes.
And, there is some hope that probably having just sentences where there's lots of very specific words, if you mark them as being more interesting than the words which are only very general words, that they would get us somewhere.
What score would the word get that just occurs once in all the corpus, for example?
Probably 1.0 is very high information value.
Even though there are all the other same topics where it doesn't occur?
Yeah, because this would. Yeah, in a sense, I mean, this is a bit like the document frequency over total frequency measure, sort of just going by.
So would it be higher score than a word that occurs in every sequence of the same topic?
What do you mean every sequence of the same
topic? Our several topics, for example, we have 20 topics, and for one of these topics there are 5 occurrences, and we have one
within the topic, so like topic, when you say topic, you mean like just like from a beginning to an end point, like within one meeting there are several topics.
Yes, but across meetings there will be the same topic several times.
But we don't have that information anywhere, do we?
Okay. I thought that was what you were doing.
Well, and when it splits the topics up, it does do it on regular words though.
But
it doesn't tell you what they are.
Segment similarity, I think that was.
I'm doing one on segment similarity in the end, yeah. I'm doing like finding similar segments, basically like in semantic analysis. But, like, for now, like your segmentation is just splitting a meeting up into different blocks.
You can't
and
convert
they are not
like
related then to our blocks.
Not from what Colin's doing, right?
No.
Okay.
No. It's only that I'm writing an algorithm with it, which then tries to also, again, based on word occurrence patterns, try to link together maybe different ones of those.
Okay.
So
yeah, how would it work? I mean, what would this information then be useful for in WordNet? I thought the point about that was that you would put into several categories all the segments of the same topic.
I thought something else that we just split. I need somewhere to split, and splitting a category boundaries, splitting a topic boundaries would be a nice thing to do, rather than just splitting somewhere.
Yeah, I'm also a bit like, I'm not 100% sure about Rainbow being the right thing, because it seems that Rainbow does in its structure quite rely on having different examples of the same category, sort of, in a way.
Yeah, but I think it should work for just one document, because it compares between the categories, and if you just have one document, it still can find out which words are informative for that category and which are not. So if you have just one document in each category and there are a lot of occurrences of the word the in each one, so this word will be not very informative across the categories.
Mm-hmm.
So it should work for one, but I'm not sure how exactly it calculates everything, and I think it's not possible to get that up.
You know what? As a byproduct of my LSA, I provide a vocabulary, like sort of a dictionary, which for each word gives an entropy score, which just tells you how much information the presence of a word tells you about which topic it is, not
mm-hmm.
which category. Like I'm not lumping together separate topic segments into categories, but just like how much this word tells you about how likely that the occurrence of that word makes it that it's a specific segment.
Mm-hmm.
Topic segment, which is some measure already of how widespread this word is versus how specific to a certain segment that is. And I'll just provide that because that's just not much more work than just the usual thing. And then we can see how we can tie that in with the other stuff. So if you keep on working on Rainbow meanwhile and try to find a way how to tie your Rainbow stuff into some way that we can attach to a certain time segment.
Maybe it's possible to have a list that is ordered by.
I'm just thinking, if is each word completely unique? Like, sort of, does it treat each word, each occurrence of word, as a completely unique event, or does it? Basically, the form of the word is important, right? We can't just replace
mm-hmm.
the word by an arbitrary string. Because it looks if the same word occurs again and stuff. Yeah, it has to work.
I don't know what you mean by that.
I think it's a stupid question. Like, it has to work on the word. Like on. What I was thinking is whether if we replace the word by something uniquely identifiable,
mm-hmm.
then it wouldn't make a difference which order it is. But that wouldn't work because it needs the word, because that's all it's working on, just the word, and it looks if that word occurs again versus how often that word occurs in other contexts, right? So we can't attach some type of information to the word, just to the word string itself, like
mm-hmm.
making an underscore, making the time or something, that wouldn't work.
You can use some kind of truncation. Maybe if you attach a number to each word and say that it should omit the last
but
part.
But would it have that in the untruncated version then? Like, would the output be the untruncated version?
Probably not.
No, I don't think it would. Yeah, for now, we really just like. Yeah, I think if we work together on an entropy based score,
mm-hmm.
it's. Let me see if I can demonstrate. So, I mean, let's just keep on talking meanwhile and I'll try to start that up. It's a very simple thing, but it basically just does something which tells you how specific a word is. In a sense, it's basically just to a high degree really telling you how rare a word is,
mm-hmm.
or how common a word is. But as the first step, that's probably for a prototype for next week, that's probably not a bad thing. I mean, if it's just that, even if you just like, if you have segments where lots of rare words occur, highlighted in darker red than segments where all the very common words occur, that's just that somewhere to start from. And it's a bit more sophisticated than that, but then de facto it just ends up doing that, mostly, from what I figured out. Actually, I think I'm not gonna start it now because it's probably gonna take too long. So, if we get on a word by word basis, whatever you do, you'll probably be on a word by word basis. What you have is on a sort of segment, but not quite segment base.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I haven't really decided on how to really get the information out of this now because. When I have, for example, increased speaker overlap, that applies to several terms, of course. But I could give the information about how important this is to each of our segments.
Okay, what about the following model? I mean, this is a very unscientific way of doing it in some sense, but what if we take time as the standard unit for now and sort of like make a massive 1 second split super array? Because everything you're doing can in one way or the other be tied down to actual time. So if for each 1 second time slot we could attach a value, and then it would be easy to then go back when if we have the time marks here and remap that onto the length of a segment. You know what I mean? So if you have for each word, say, and we know that word starts at this second and ends at that second, and you have for some time period, the overlap in that period and the F1s in that period or something. So you also have a value which can be tied down to a time. And then you could just in MATLAB or in something just create some massive super array of things for each like sort of time sampling slot and calculate a value for this. And once we have this array, we can go with the script and sort of go for each segment to the starting and end times and say, okay, this is from our time segment here to just the time segment there. So we take the sum of those and divide them by the numbers and then create the average and put it in as the value for the segment. You know what I mean?
But how can we get to know what makes sense as a function for joining everything together?
Oh,
it might be difficult to find
that's a fiddling play in the end, but that problem we'll always have. Because we don't have a useful way of automatically evaluating you don't have a way of usefully evaluating automatically what's good and what's bad, so it's probably always going to be a question of looking at it and saying, okay, like running it with different factor loadings and saying, okay, this way it works this way, this way it works that way.
Yeah, but what you proposed, we should break that down to have the smallest unity. Of time duration should be one word, and that would be because that would be what naturally came out of her thing.
But it would probably be more difficult for map it on. So
yeah, sure, but I could then, if I have the value for a second, I would perhaps just give all the important words.
You could always find out how many words there are in objects.
Yes.
Yeah, but so you say that it's like you basically say having an array where each cell is one word,
mm-hmm.
I think, and then you would map your information onto individual words.
Yeah, would somehow have to break it down.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably somehow have to break it down to that level.
Would you be able to find out which word that is?
Yes, sure.
And then we could have like some type of just point at the end where the one scores from all the individual word cells get multiplied all with, like, for each utterance or whatever you have, get all multiplied with the same value, all the ones that are within that utterance. That's sort of the combination of the two scores.
Yeah.
And then we have to go back again and then put that back into that segment over here. So that we, because in the end we don't want it on a per word basis, but probably on a per segment basis.
Yeah, but then, okay, but at that moment it would be better for me to just make it on a second place if I might and get her adapted also for the
Oh yeah, yeah, see that, yeah, that's true, so that it's easier if you are able to, well, I think that's probably back where we started. But you said, but you said it's more complicated because your segments aren't those segments exactly.
Yeah, I mean, mine are only more, but they have the same start and end point. Sometimes they're two segments and one with a gap in between, but and they have they don't overlap.
And their segments do overlap.
No, no, they don't. But
Those two or those don't.
I mean, my segments overlap in the same way as theirs do, but sometimes I have split one of the segments into two segments, but it's easy to match.
Okay. So you could, on their granularity,
to their segments.
You could, on their granularity, create a score, like
I
for each of their segments. But I guess I mean for you, if you know for each word, if you find that out, then it has to be possible. Because if you know sort of this is going from word to word, or if this is going from time to time, and then there has to be a way then for you to say, okay, this concerns these following words, and then just make a simple mean over them. I think an interesting thing is if we don't combine your two scores in the XML file yet, but if you do that in the software, then we can probably make ways of playing with it in the software and sort of, you know, like adapting some sort of control, like playing around with displaying the different weightings for the utterance based one versus the word based one and sort of look at it dynamically. You know what I mean? Like playing around, sort of figuring out what's the best way of combining them by playing around and looking at the results.
We could even have a look at our different measures if they come up with the same kinds of.
Yeah, we could probably like make a graphical display initially, at least for our experimenting, which displays them in different ways and then see how they interact with each other.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm already doing with my.
So do you think like both of you then can map something onto their segments? Like just each of you provide one value, like double value or whatever, like one decimal value or whatever, onto exactly their segments?
I think if I can provide something for the words as they are, it's stated from where to where the segments go.
It's stated
yeah,
both.
Tells you even which words it is.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
done
yeah,
both in terms of words and in terms of sections. It's a bit sad, sort of, that we do this before we've truly figured out how the Night XML thing works, because now we're doing it all by hand and like parsing and unparsing that thing, and it's all part of the framework.
Yeah.
How much easier would it be if we truly understood this?
Well, it would be quite straightforward, some of the parts. Yeah, no one understands it.
Okay, I might just change my order of in which I do things and like forget my latent semantic analysis stuff until the weekend and try to really make sense of the night data system now, so that maybe as soon as I've understood that, we find ways of doing that within the night framework already, so that we don't manually have to parse times and tie things together.
You mean by matching strings?
Well, at the moment, what you would do, like, to solve this problem is you would sort of like write some Perl script or something that gets this time value out of here.
What I've done is a parser, an XML parser, where you can get the start times.
Okay.
So that's quite easy because it's an attribute, and you just say that you want the values of those attributes.
So, provided that you get your words in the right order, do you think it is an easy task for you? It's a relatively feasible task for you to get just a single value per segment.
I think that should be possible. I don't know how long it takes me.
Okay. And you say you think you're able as well to map onto those segments.
Yeah.
And if you're both able to map onto those segments, then we should be able to get one file where we have, like, whatever, two values, value A and value B, both as attributes for. For this. And that we could load into a prototype and see what types of what ways of displaying this information are there.
Yeah. I had to have some mailing quite soon with. I just worked, I just calculated the values for the average F0s, and I didn't have a look at the data yet, but they vary quite widely even for the same speaker across meetings.
Mm.
So one speaker had an average of about 100.
Mm-hmm.
In one meeting and 160 in another meeting. That's really
mm-hmm.
strange. I mean, perhaps it's because of laughter or something. That's what I was thinking, but I didn't have.
There's probably also social interaction factors. And that sometimes just a meeting, like if people adapt their zeros to each other, you know, sometimes.
Yeah, that's what I read in one of those papers.
Yeah,
as well, but yeah, that could mess up. It's quite possible.
Can you do something like just like not measuring the F0, the absolute raw, but just like the variance of F0 within a certain time frame, and like sort of like just have some parts where it's very low variance, where they're more or less talking the same F0, and one where there's a lot more variance?
But all this is quite, you know, data intensive.
Yeah.
Just calculate the average F0 levels, I think it needed more than half an hour, because it would be more than half an hour to do that for our meetings.
Mm.
Because, we have 75 hours per average of 6 speakers, and they measured every 0.016 seconds. And that gives us quite a lot of values.
Okay. So at the moment, you're measuring the F0s relative to the average for the speaker, or?
Yeah, what I did at the moment is I got the F0 values for each speaker for
mm-hmm.
his headphone, and I only take those that were recorded at the time where he was actually speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And for those, I calculated the average.
Mm-hmm.
So
the average
that gave me now one value per speaker per meeting.
Okay. So what you would be feeding in would be just like one value per speaker per meeting. So
that's just the average.
That's your average baseline. Okay,
yeah.
Okay, now. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, that makes a lot more sense, yeah. So that would show you how much relative to how he's performing generally in that meeting, relative to that. How he's in a specific segment.
Yes, I mean, I just needed to have this way, you know, to relate.
And for you, that would be quite easy to relate to those segments.
Yeah,
exactly. Get a faster 15 times.
Is laughter annotated?
I actually have to look at the data, what
mm-hmm.
causes these. Because it's quite funny to have a male speaking at 200.
The Castrati Corps of the International Computer Science Institute. I'm afraid I have to go soon. I'm not quite sure there's anything more we have to talk about.
Maybe we meet
and
we can.
Yeah. See, as soon as I'm halfway through my LSA, like basically as soon as I have the matrix built of the document by word stuff, it's very easy to then calculate for each word
yeah.
a score, and I can just give you those scores and you can do them whatever you want.
So now how about the prototype? If we want to show him something on Monday, we definitely have to work together, some of us at least have to work together to get the one in, probably.
Mm. Yeah, I think Colin, Dave and me will actually work on the Java stuff in it. And we'll just see whatever you supply us, we'll try to tie in and visualize in some way or another. I'll ask Jonathan if we can postpone the meeting to 1 o'clock. So that would give us a chance of meeting for an hour before that to discuss the questions that we had.
Yeah, just send us an email or something.
Yeah, I haven't gotten like sort of my confirmation that Wednesday is fine. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to expect a confirmation for my confirmation from him now, or but I'll just email him again and just ask him if he can maybe make it one. Sorry, reset 12 and I'm asking if he can make one. This is a bit frustrating if I'm honest, isn't it? It's like difficult to get to the point where you understand enough to really feel it. I don't know, I'm not feeling that I'm really working at the moment, I'm just trying to make sense of everything. It's a bit too far into the meeting for that.
I'm at the moment fiddling around with my data and not quite seeing how I get to a sensible abstraction level, you know, from anyway.
I guess as soon as we have a framework in the type of prototype where like sort of each of us can tie in their stuff and see how it looks like and how it performs, you know, that probably makes it a lot easier then. But sort of it's a bootstrapping problem. Like for the prototype, we need some type of data, but to develop the data, it would be a lot easier to have the prototype.
Yeah.
Anyway, I gotta go.
So I mean, you will be happy with some data, even if it doesn't make much sense.
Yes, but if it's in a form which is easy to read in at the moment, that would be fine. Sort of like. If we have something like this segments file, but for each of you, like, just have one attribute. I think it's really easy if we don't merge them beforehand, but if we combine them in the prototype or don't at the moment, because then we can easily display them individually, contrast them to each other, and play around with how to combine them.
And also, we don't have to recalculate, just.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. And I mean, computationally multiplying two. Integers or doubles or whatever shouldn't be the thing that.
Yeah, if it's already in segment space, that's not too much.